Well, it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. Jason, it's another week, and if we're honest, we've skipped a couple.
We have indeed skipped a couple.
The magic of radio, they may not
They may not be aware of that. But Wednesday this year was conveniently also Christmas
and
New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And as much as we love our listeners, we love our families a little bit more. And so we pulled from the archives. I note to say that the archives, not a best of show.
Sure.
Because that would imply there has been a best or even good shows.
I think that would imply, too, that you could even rank the shows in order. I mean, they're all so good.
How would one even do that?
Yeah, it would be impossible. They would have to do a best of day.
Sure.
And just 24 hours, it would just be us.
Yeah.
Which would make complete
sense.
How
were your holidays, my
friend? They were good, man. They, kids were sick during a good bit.
Like flu sick?
No, like, 24-hour stomach bug is what it was. So Christmas Eve morning, or Christmas Eve night, we left Christmas Eve. We drove back from Middle Tennessee, made it to the last Christmas Eve service at Shoreline.
Yep.
Everybody was good. We sat on the front row. Wasn't distracting for you at all,
nope,
I'm sure.
Not at all.
With all the wood kids running around. And then, then we got home and about 9:30, our youngest, Charlie, who just turned 2 this week, threw up on Granna.
Oh, no.
And so, and then about 2 hours later, threw up again. And then 2 hours later, again.
Oh, no.
And so we were like, oh, this is great. Christmas is tomorrow. Our youngest is going to be sick. Christmas morning, Summer, our third child or our second child walks into the bedroom and says, Daddy, I threw up in my bed. And so she just kept looking at me going, I just don't want to be sick on Christmas. And I was like, I know. I don't want you to be sick on Christmas either, but I have no control.
Why don't you go back to your bed and let's figure this out.
Yeah, why don't you stop throwing up?
Yeah, exactly.
How about that, Summer?
How about that?
Paige?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you think about that, Merry Christmas?
No, but other than that, it wasn't one of those.
Did it go through quick?
Yeah, really quick. And that's the thing is it didn't, she didn't even feel bad.
Okay.
She just would throw up a few times and then. Kids are amazing. Cause when I get that type of thing, like I'm done.
Yeah.
Put me in the bed,
kinda
give
like
me Netflix,
like
and
the
I'm
man
done.
Flu.
Yeah, yeah,
you're shutting
I'm done
down
with
for
it.
2 or 3 days.
And then New Year's Day, or New Year's Eve, Evelyn, our third child, was going up the stairs and tripped and smashed her face. And we thought, well, this will be okay. And then we wiped the blood away. We're like, oh no, her lip definitely needs stitches. So New Year's Eve, we spent about 6 hours at Children's Hospital waiting.
So your wife did not do the stitches.
She did not do the stitches.
Didn't she do some stitches?
She did stitch me
up
last year, because we didn't want to wait. Aaron, we just went to the vet and she stitched my finger up. But this being our little girl's mouth, we wanted to make sure the scar was not going to be.
Right, you're already like
so whatever.
Mangled.
I'm good, and I'm married, and I'm old, and so.
But for her,
if I have a scar, and as for a dude, I think having a scar is like, I got you know. But for my little Evelyn, she doesn't need a scar on her lip. So they did great, and I will say we waited a long time just because there was a lot of people. But the people at Children's were amazing.
They are fantastic.
They were absolutely amazing. They loved on my little girl really well.
Of our community,
it was
sure.
great. Now, what about you? How was your time?
Do you guys do, would you have regularly done a New Year's Eve celebration?
We actually had some neighbors that were going to come over.
Okay, but
but we had to cancel those plans. Yeah.
So they're mad at you.
And, so I don't know. If I'm honest, I was okay with not having people over.
I went to bed about 10.
Yeah, I was.
Which is, that's every bit of an hour later than normal for me.
Me too. So I was in bed
early. I was living on the wild side. Now, our holidays were great, man. It was really, really good. Four Christmas Eve services is pretty taxing.
Yeah.
So the next day or two, I and our family really, really just kind of vegged out a bit. Then we did a little bit of travel to go see Carrie's family in South Carolina. And it was good though. Really, really good. You know, we actually got, some time in Polly's Island at the beach, which is always fun. So yeah, like New Year's Day, it was like 70 degrees there. So we got to run around and there's no one on the beach. The boys got to run around. It's one of the nice things. I actually grew up going to the Gulf Coast beaches.
Yeah, yep.
But Carrie, of course, being a South Carolinian, she knows South Carolina beaches and the South Carolina beaches, I don't like the sand as much. I don't like the water as much. But the big width of it all, like how much space you've got and how it flattens out, perfect for kicking a soccer ball around or throwing a frisbee, or we play bocce and all that stuff. So it was good, but we are back, man.
We're back.
Like 2020 is going to be a huge year for Between Sundays.
Yeah, 2020. It's crazy that I was thinking the other, I've been watching a Civil War documentary. Because I'm a nerd.
Right. And you were like thinking about things that shaped history.
I was.
And then you thought about our show.
I did. And I was like, wow, when they do another documentary on something, they're definitely going to interview us. And so, but I was watching it and then I started seeing these people on there and I thought, okay, well, that's an interesting person. And so I Googled, when was this documentary made?
Okay.
It's a Ken Burns Civil War documentary. Very well done. 1990. So then I started doing the math and I thought, oh, that was 30. Because there was one person on there I thought, I feel like I should know this person. If they're a big historian, are they not on TV and things? And I Googled them. I was like, oh, that was 30 years ago.
Correct.
They don't even look like that person anymore.
No.
And it's crazy to think that 1990 was 30 years ago.
That is wild.
That 2000 was almost 20 years ago.
Insane. And we should be having, shouldn't we have arrived today in flying vehicles and, you know,
all that stuff?
I mean, I thought that's what was supposed to happen.
In a lot of ways.
Do you have a robot fix breakfast for you?
No, but I do have one that sweeps the house.
that is true.
And I'll just say in 2020 should be able to do a better job.
Yeah.
Than it does.
I would agree.
But so it's crazy that here we are in 2020.
During our time away, there's obviously been a lot of things that have happened. But man, it has really escalated in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And so, we're going to give some attention in today's show to, all things Iran and talk about the missiles that have been shot at the United States, troops on an Iraqi base. We're going to talk a bit about, our pursuit and ultimately death of Soleimani.
Yep.
And try to think about that from a gospel perspective. It is the thing that is dominating the headlines today. And so I don't think we should avoid it in any fashion. But for those that are just kind of tuning in, those that may not be the ones that read the news,
sure.
And I don't blame them,
yeah.
Give everyone a bit of a summary as to what's been happening.
Yeah, so as everyone knows, we've been in a Middle Eastern conflict for quite some time.
Right.
And you can go back to 9/11. And then so we have soldiers now that are in the Middle East that weren't even born during 9/11.
Right.
That's how long we've been there. And so there's a lot of things been going on. We have a U.S. presence, obviously, that we don't have a base there in Iraq, but there's Iraqi bases that house American soldiers. And over the last few weeks, we've seen some escalation with a couple deaths that have occurred. An American death, an Iranian death, and then from that, Iran, who has been a big player in Iraq for a long time.
Right.
And again, we're not claiming to be geopolitical experts here.
And we've not been in any meetings at the Pentagon this week.
We haven't got that phone call yet.
Right.
But as we watched that unfold, what we saw was the Iranians led a kind of a charge at the U.S. embassy
right.
there in Iraq. And if you think back to not that long ago, the Benghazi issue where we had an ambassador murdered
right.
and three other people murdered, because, one of our headquarters,
was overthrown.
Was overthrown and burned down and attacked. And so a lot of folks thought, oh no, is this going to be the latest Benghazi? Are we going to send help? Are we going to step in? And our administration sent help, stepped in, were prepared if the walls were ever breached to deal with that. Well, what we found out later was, Soleimani, who is in the best way to understand this, he's like the vice president in Iran.
Right.
So that we can understand our terms. That's not his title, but he was over all the military, not just leading them, but he was the mission. He was the vision caster. He
right.
was the all of that, all the way to the point of being on the ground in different parts of the world to make sure the mission was carried out. And so he is responsible over the years for over 600 American soldiers' deaths. Thousands and thousands of people around the world have lost their life or lost limbs or been injured because of him directly and his leadership. And well, he happened to be in Iraq. And that's no coincidence because he was leading the charge at, And from what we've been told by our intelligent communities, is that they were prepared to attack Americans there in Iraq.
Right.
And so our intelligence community knew where he was. So we sent a drone, took out Soleimani and two other major leaders. Then we started arresting leaders within the area. And so a lot of people got concerned. World War III was trending on Twitter because they didn't know what would happen. And our administration has said from the beginning, look, we're not going to play with kid gloves when it comes to this. If you Right. attack America or some of our people, you're gonna pay for that. And so what we've seen over the last few days is mourning and funeral processions and all of these things in Iran. Well, then last night we saw some ballistic missiles be shot toward an Iraqi base that is housing American soldiers. And from what we know right now, no casualties on either side.
Right.
But kind of a way of Iran at least being able to tell their people, we responded and now we're not going to respond again as long as
Right.
This stays peaceful.
Right. And, you know, there's a few things. As you said, obviously, in addition to mourning and to loss, there's obviously anger and
Sure.
hatred. And so you've seen American flags being burned
Yeah.
and rioting and chanting Yeah. against America. And so, as you said, then here come these ballistic missiles. There are various speculations. Again, this just happened, you know, as best we can tell, less than 24 hours
Yeah.
ago. But various speculations related to you know, what was the real intent of it? There were not, as best we can see, any casualties, whether American or Iraqi.
Yeah.
The Iraqi government seems to be affirming that as well. And as you and I have even spoken off air, I mean, kind of the idea of a ballistic missile is Yeah. it doesn't miss.
Yeah, the whole point is you control. It's not a rocket that you just send up in Right. the air and you hope it hits the mark.
And so
ballistic, you control it.
So the fact that it actually, even on a couple of these, you know, Iraqi camps or bases, somewhat missed, if you will, may be a bit of an indicator that this is more propaganda
Mm-hmm.
in the sense of, as you said, we've flexed our muscle. We're not wanting to start something
Right.
with the Americans too great, but we're also going to save face publicly on the world front. And so now here we are, and tensions are very, very Yeah. high, and naturally there's fear and things of that sort. And that's going to be a bit about what we talk about today in the rest of the show.
Yeah, and so that's the interesting part is, and the thing about, and we talked about this too, is social media has allowed for everyone to have a platform, which means if you get on Twitter right now, it seems as if everyone understands
Oh, yeah.
everything about the
it's
Middle Eastern
how many people,
conflict.
How many people studied world policy, foreign policy,
it's,
you know, how...
And that's not always good. I will say that the president tweeted last night, all is well, no casualties. Some of the missiles even missed the mark. And I'm hoping that his statement stays in that line and that this doesn't escalate to something further.
Right.
But I mean, even having a conversation with my wife last night, she was like, what does all this mean? There is certainly fear that comes with this because I think when we think of a World War III, we see what happened in World War II and we see how many people were lost. Well, in 2020, any kind of war is going to be much different than what we saw with storming the beaches of Normandy
Correct.
And those type things. But you still have the reality that there are some people that are a little concerned. There are some people that have sons and daughters that serve
Right.
in the military that are packing up. I follow a guy that's a special forces in the military, and he posted last night a picture on Instagram, and he said the packing has begun, and he's got all his suitcases out. And so this is very real for a lot of people. And we have to understand that. And I think when we come back from break, we transition that. Okay, well, how does the gospel deal with this? What does this mean for church people? What does this mean for gospel people between Sundays? How do we look at this through the lens of the gospel?
We'll be back. Cherish is the word I
use to describe. So the conversation today is... And Jason, I'm just going to be honest. There's some frustration that comes with this because it feels like we have talked about a Middle Eastern conflict for much of my lifetime.
Right.
I mean, early 90s, you had...
Because you were born in 2008, right?
No.
Okay, no.
No, but we had So
no, I mean, truly,
early 90s, like you had Gulf Storm.
Yeah, I'm 42 years old, and it feels like it's been a huge piece of it.
And then 9/11 occurs, and since 9/11, we have had a presence. We've lost Americans
right.
in the Middle East, every year
right.
since 9/11. And so as we think through that and talk about that, I think sometimes we look at this and we see what happened with Soleimani and we see what's going on with Iran. And we know the power of just our American military. So as Christians, sometimes it's a struggle to balance that.
Right.
Of here we have an evil man that's responsible for a lot of lives being lost. Women, children, soldiers, you name it, he's responsible for it.
Right.
And so as a Christian who, you know, you have folks that are saying, well, we should be completely anti-war, very passive. Then you have some folks that are more like war hawks and are just waiting
right.
for an opportunity.
Just looking
you know,
for
any
fight.
Opportunity right. to go fight somebody. And I'm hoping cooler heads prevail here. But how do we deal with that as gospel people? You have an evil man, and we know evil is real.
Right.
You have an evil man that's responsible for a lot of deaths, and a decision had to be made to take that man out.
Yeah, I think for starters, we have to be really careful with that which we are allowing into our mind. We are called as Christ followers to be people that are a part of this renewing of our minds, you know, and we're supposed to be sober in mind, as 1 Peter describes to us. And so you and I have spoken. I mean, the media coverage of this has been atrocious. I mean, it truly has been, and I would say from every angle.
Yeah.
It has been fear-mongering at times. It has been clearly propaganda at times. It has been using death and using a war as political pawns in some mm-hmm. much larger discussion. And I would start with, you know, let's be careful. I'm not saying to people to turn off the televisions. That's a decision that I make sometimes.
Sure.
But I would be careful that we're doing more than simply receiving information and thinking through information. That at times what happens is there's commentary that is added to all of that that flares our emotions in ways that I don't believe are helpful or even edifying.
Yeah.
And so for me, I would start there. Then secondly, I just do believe this is one of these things where we just have to fall under the guidance of the Holy Spirit in how we discuss and how we even feel. Because let's be really honest about this. You think about Soleimani. This man is responsible for hundreds, if not thousands, of people's lives. And certainly American lives, as we said, mm-hmm. Noted well over 600
yeah.
American lives are connected to various terrorist acts that he has either orchestrated, funded, things mm-hmm. of that sort. And so there's clearly evil in play. And so when we see evil halted, I do believe it is just and it is right to celebrate that
yep.
to a degree, to find relief in that, to find a certain degree of maybe even hopefulness in that. With that said, there is a balance, and this is where people, when we put our patriotism mm-hmm. towards America above our patriotism to the kingdom of God, this is where it gets complicated.
Yep.
And we will have listeners who will not like even what I'm about to say, but we have to be reminded that even people like Soleimani are people that are made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have chosen to not walk in the ways of God. They have chosen to do things that are counter to the things of God. But at the end of the day, this is someone who will spend eternity in a very real place mm-hmm. called hell.
Yep. Yeah.
I do not believe that he is. And so you say, how in the world then do we find some, you know, to whatever term we want to give it, some satisfaction or relief that an evil person is now gone with the idea that they are also spending eternity in hell. It is an impossible thing without simply the guidance of the Holy Spirit and Him giving us a greater grace in thinking through those things, in speaking through those things or speaking about those things. As you were referencing, tell folks about the Time magazine article about how do we talk to our
Yeah, so Time magazine just posted an article. Hey, if you want an explainer of how to talk to your kids about the death of the leader in Iran, we've reached a point in our society where clicks are so important.
Right.
And so even if you disagree with an article, they know that they can construct a headline in such a way that you're going to click it. They're going to make money off that click.
Right.
Or you're going to share it, or you're going to retweet it. Even if you retweet it and say something bad about it, you've retweeted it. And so you've pushed it
right.
further. And a lot of times what happens is it would have never got the attention had the folks that didn't like it
right.
sent it out.
And of course the reason that particular article, you know, got clicks is because it talked about our kids and it talks about Soleimani.
Yeah.
And I would say to us, it wouldn't have gotten as many clicks if the article was about how are we supposed to feel
yep.
about Soleimani. But that's probably the bigger deal because
yep.
where we are and where our hearts are ultimately going to model to our friends, to our family members, coworkers, you know, neighbors. This is something that I would really just challenge people that are Christ followers to be slow to speak, to be quick to listen, and to be able to articulate that indeed we don't ever celebrate someone being in hell. That
yeah.
is not something we're going to celebrate. On the other hand, we indeed can find relief that an evil person has been put to halt in
yeah.
doing the atrocious deeds that they've been doing.
Well, and one thing that I noticed right after it occurred and the news was getting out that this happened, a lot of soldiers that I pay attention to, veterans that I pay attention to, started posting and saying, finally, justice has been served to this man that took my leg, to this man that took my buddy. And so we have to understand there is an aspect of that when it comes to veterans, folks that have served or parents of these veterans that are served or are still serving and understand they're wrestling with it now of going, okay, this is good. Glad that he's gone. This may mean I have to go back to the Middle East.
Right.
And this may mean I have to go back into conflict. So when we have these discussions, when we have these arguments or whatever we want to call them, the reality is there are real people, moms and dads, brothers and sisters on both sides,
right,
that are gearing up for something at this moment. And so from a gospel standpoint, we know that the government is tasked with protecting, and this was one of those moments where they felt like there was an imminent threat, and with the history of this man, this decision had to be made. And I pray that there was a prayerful heart in this and making that decision, and that they felt like that's where they were prompted to go.
Yeah. You mentioned a subject that I think is interesting. It's the topic of justice. And, you know, I would encourage our listeners, you know, to consider that we don't really need to get into a mindset of, they did us wrong, so we'll
right.
do them wrong.
Right.
You know, they hit us, so we're going to hit them back. I believe, as you said, the role of the American government in many ways is to protect the American people and to allow them to flourish in every way possible. And so when we see measures like this, it is not, I hope, to be this, you know, third grade mentality,
right.
you hurt us, so we'll hurt you back. But instead, to establish clear boundaries that you cannot do this to us.
Yeah.
And the reason we'll talk more about that after the break is because ultimately we're not responsible for justice. God the Father will
That's
handle
right.
that.
We'll be back.
Wake up and smile, because it's been a while.
Did you wake up and
it's
smile
been
this
like
morning,
a
Jason?
Whole day since I stopped.
Sure.
You did?
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't. I kind of just rolled out of bed and told the pig to get out of my way and got in the shower.
I mean, we might need to shut down the show. At the point where you begin talking and continuing to, like, affirm that a pig living in your home is an acceptable thing.
Yeah.
Every time you do that, we lose listeners.
Hamlet is what we named him.
Man.
And yeah, he was.
How large is he now?
Not big at all. I think he's done growing. I don't even know. Maybe like 25, 30 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
Not that big.
Does anyone like pick him up?
We have to pick him up sometimes. Like we went to visit my family. We had to take him with us. And so, he rides in the van great. He just sleeps the whole time. You don't get him out at stops because you can't really put a leash on him and people would think you're weird.
The very faces that I make at you would be only exasperated.
Like, oh, you drive a 12 passenger and you have a pig. Of course you do.
Yeah,
of course you do. And so, but when you pick him up, he acts as if you were stabbing him in both sides and
really?
Screams bloody murder and does not stop. And,
does he smell like bacon?
He doesn't have a smell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I wonder what he thinks when we make bacon.
Because that is.
But I'll never know.
Fantastic.
I'll never know. So, yeah. So that's what I do in the morning.
So, anyways, we continue on. As we think about, all of the events that are happening in the Middle East, maybe most recently, we're talking about these missiles that were shot at a number of different Iraqi targets that indeed had American troops near or regularly around. And so we've been talking about war. We've been talking about evil and the death of those that are evil and trying to reconcile that with the gospel. And I mentioned before the break justice and how, again, my encouragement and I hope that our government would respond in ways that when we respond to something, even when I think historically, and again, I wasn't present in this. I don't want to do anything to deter lives that were lost or anything of that sort. But when even I think about something like Pearl Harbor, I don't think necessarily the approach is you did something to us, so we're going to do something to you. It is more so we have got to clearly establish that this cannot happen and there are consequences with this when it does happen. And so the reason that I think that's appropriate is because you and I are not responsible for bringing justice into the lives of other people, meaning if someone harms me or someone does something evil to me, the Father has not given me the instructive to you go make sure and that you rebuke them, correct them, make sure they learn their lesson. Instead, we are called to be ones that in many ways would turn the other cheek. We're called to be ones that offer grace and forgiveness, all the while knowing that the greater good and evil and the greater reality of justice will come into play in the hands of God and will come into play in the larger scan of eternity.
Yeah. Well, and that's the, as we talk about, we've talked about Iran, North Korea, we talked about the possibility of something escalating with both of those places for a long time. The reality is with, nobody wants that. It's very similar to you think back to the Cold War. The reason why we had that, nobody really wanted to actually go at it, fight and do that. We wanted to just let them know.
You can't do this.
You're not going, it's not going to go well if we continue down this path and it's just not going to work. That's why Reagan famously said, tear down this wall. It's all of those things were like, look, we want to bring peace. We want to be a part of a peaceful solution. But if it were to go further, we're going to protect our people and our interests. And so my hope is that with this, and it's hard because of social media, it's hard to see a tweet and then to take that tweet from the president or from an American leader and immediately go, well, because of this, this means he's going to do this.
Right.
No, that's not what it means. But we're in a time where we've never had this.
Right.
We've never had an opportunity where we used to have radio addresses where they would talk about plans in very lengthy things. Now we have, 240 characters?
Right.
And we're going, okay, then because of that, we know his plan. Well, no, we don't.
Well, and with that, and in just a moment, I want us to talk about, you mentioned peace. And,
sure.
And often when we discuss war, the absence of peace comes fear and all this other stuff. And how do we as Christ followers consider this? But to conclude, kind of that general thing, what you were saying, I mean, when we see things on social media too, it just allows our mind to go a million directions and we become conspiracy theorists. Mention what you shared earlier about the earthquakes.
Yeah, so there was last night we had ballistic missiles sent at Iraqi base. We had a plane, a passenger plane went down in Iran, and they're saying it was engine failure. No one knows yet. So that's
of course,
a conspiracy opportunity.
Then
there were, I believe, one or two earthquakes in Iran. And so somebody tweeted last night, the earthquake machine that the Americans are using is working well. We're really showing them. Well, obviously that's not true, but there's so many things that go into that.
Like President Trump is like pushing down on the big, cartoon dynamite, pump,
or it turns out the red button isn't for nuclear weapons; it's an earthquake machine.
Right.
Yeah, that's where we've reached a place where it's so difficult to get through to truth, and that's why I think it's important as gospel people that we wait.
Right.
It's okay to wait. Even Joe Biden last night tweeted and said, "I'm not going to make any comments until we know more information." What a novel idea.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy. So when we do think about war, and again, we are not implying necessarily that we are headed towards World War III.
Right.
But at the end of the day, there are still American men and women troops with our allies. They are on the front lines in many different ways. And so I think we can say war is not this thing. In fact, one of my boys asked somewhere along the last couple of weeks, are we in war? And I just kind of said to him, we now exist in almost a constant state of war. We are always having troops in harm's way, and we are always fighting against certain things that bring harm to Americans or to American allies. And so we were talking about that. And how do we deal with that? If it really escalates and we really do sense like a heavier weight than just kind of the new normal that has existed really probably since 2000, since 9/11, how do we as Christ followers attempt to process that fear that just seems to naturally rise up in us?
Yeah, I think first off, it's going to happen. In a post Genesis 3 world, fear is going to be present.
Right.
There are certain things that we are going to be fearful of that if we were to tell someone else that we're scared of that, they're going to look at us and go, "Are you kidding me?"
Right.
With all that's going on in the world, that's what scares you.
Right.
But this is a thing that all of us can come and say, "Yeah, war is scary."
Right.
And the thought that could come to our land is even scarier. And so I think
because we're now in different, we're in a different era of war. You can be shot at from thousands of miles away.
Yeah. And so it's a different time. And so as we think through that, I think it's important to as Christians that we go, well, we don't know what that looks like 10 years from now, 5 years from now, a month from now. And so what we're going to try to do is be very present with our family, with our friends. Get into the word, know the gospel, know the truths, that regardless of what comes, that we have something to hope in, and we have someone to hope in. And that's not easy. It's not going to be easy if this continues to escalate. And frankly, I would encourage you, if you are one that fear is very, very present in your life, I would encourage you to maybe step away from the news. Because the whole model is to make you want to keep watching and coming back, and that's not going to help in that fear. We have hope in a Jesus that conquered everything, and so regardless of what is to come, we know that, and we need to do our best to rest in that truth and take our burdens to Him.
Yeah, I'm reminded of this passage. In fact, I shared it on Christmas Eve. I'm sure it changed your life when I shared it.
It did.
No, but in all seriousness, that there was this passage in John chapter 20 where, this is after Jesus has been crucified. He's now resurrected. The disciples are locked inside in fear of the Jews. Mm-hmm. They're fearful that Jesus' fate is going to be their fate. Jesus shows up miraculously, Doesn't seem to be that he just knocks on the door. In fact, language seems to indicate he just quite literally just kind of appears. And he offers the statement multiple times. He says it twice to the disciples, peace be with you. It's that origin, that Hebrew term shalom, became this greeting, you know, among the early disciples. And then, of course, Thomas is missing there, right? And this is how Thomas gets wrongly identified as doubting Thomas, because he says, I won't believe unless I see the wounds in his hands and the wounds in his side. And what does Jesus do? Indeed, he shows up a week later and says, peace be with you. And so here's the deal, that the way that Jesus offered peace was the proximity that he had to the disciples. Mm-hmm. And really, maybe I should say it the other way. The way that the disciples experienced peace was their understanding of his proximity to them. They were certainly locked in because they were fearful, but also they weren't expecting Jesus. And so for us, I would say to us, in a world that is chaotic at best, the only way that we will find peace, not simply in just doctrine or just theology, but in a daily intimate pursuit with him. We'll be back.
Well, Jason, I don't think we were rusty at all. You know,
we were just as average as any other.
I would agree. I think that when you set the bar where we set the bar when we first started this show,
right,
it's pretty easy to meet it each time.
that is true. I've noticed, in fact, here in the King Pure Water Studios, Joy 620 WRJZ. We actually have a pretty nice view. We can look through, three different layers of glass.
That's true.
So we have the glass in the actual studio.
Yep.
And then you can see through the glass door in the lobby. And then I guess what is that technically?
A glass wall.
An atrium. I don't know.
Sure.
That you can look out. And we can see a number of renovations that happened. Today is a sunny day, but there's been a number of renovations that have happened on Magnolia.
They have been doing this for quite some time.
Do you or do you not intend or expect there to be some type of statuette related to today's show?
I think it would make sense.
But not likely.
Yeah, I think what we'll probably do is I'll probably send a petition to not just the county mayor, also the newly elected city mayor.
Right.
And just say, hey, we've been at this a while now. I think we have like 70 shows under our belt or something like that. And so it would just make sense that a big microphone. I mean, or even life-size statue of me and you chiseled as we are already chiseled in stone.
I'm afraid on this beautiful afternoon that lightning may strike.
Have you seen
this conversation?
Speaking of that, have you seen the new commercials? What is it? I don't know if it's an insurance company, but Pinocchio is the
I'm
new.
I'm not. I need to
So Pinocchio, it's really well done that they, this lady met a guy on an app. And the face is clearly photoshopped. And when the guy shows up, it's Pinocchio, and he says, "Oh, that was a recent photo that I took." And his nose gets longer. And so then he's like a motivational speaker, and he's speaking to a large crowd, and he says, he looks at a guy, and he says, "I see potential in you." And his nose grows long.
I didn't see that. It's so well done.
Is that
a favorite commercial?
It is right now. My favorite commercial on TV.
Our favorite commercial on television right now are the Dr. Pepper, maybe it's Diet Dr. Pepper commercials where they're tailgating.
Oh yeah, those are good.
And he says, "Have you been seeing another grill? Yeah. What does she have that I don't have?
Yeah,
she's got an onion volcano. She uses propane.
Yeah,
it's the same to me." What? Oh, it's great.
Those are really good. Some of the commercials are very clever.
Yes.
I'm all about the commercials that are clever and not trying to make some greater, grander point.
Just
be funny, make me laugh, and there's a good chance I'm going to buy your stuff. So, you know, in Sundrop, I don't even see ads for them anymore, and I'm still in the heavy supporter.
Just before we leave, I did note that a big thing happened in your family.
It did.
Looked like your boy had his first son drop.
He did. So at Christmas, I gave him a card, and in the card, I said a lot of nice things. And then I said, during your Christmas break from school, We have some wood that needs to be split. We're going to split some wood. We're going to go right around, and you're going to have your first sun drop, which is when I split wood with my dad, even today. We get a sun drop. We go ride back roads. And so we got to have that moment. It was a pretty cool moment. Yeah.
It was cool for you. Did he think it was lame or
no?
He like
actually,
it?
You know, I guzzled my sun drop in no time. And, I was like, Gavin, are you okay, buddy? Do you not like it? And he's like, no, I'm just savoring this moment.
That's
and
really sweet.
I thought, Gavin, that's good, buddy. That's,
that is so sweet.
And so when I threw the cans away, I had to get gas and threw the cans away. And he said, I should have kept that can, so I could have kept it in my room and always remembered this. You believe that, Jason?
I would have turned that van around and gone and grabbed that can out of that.
There'll be more opportunities for
man,
that. But yeah,
really
it was really, and I know.
A little disappointed that y'all did a can as opposed to a bottle.
Well, it's harder to find bottles around here.
I know, but I mean, it's Christmas.
I know. But the can worked. But it's one of those things where I know that for some who are like, why does he like this drink so much? It's just nostalgia for me. I mean, I grew up, it was just a normal thing at our home. And to experience that little bit of home with my boy was pretty special.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, before we leave, I just want to mention this one final thing. Again, obviously, we are not, experts on world affairs. I would just encourage our listeners, in light of everything that's happening, for us to pray for our leadership. You know, it is so easy to jump into a political party, or so easy to kind of take a certain perspective or sit in a certain camp, but let's be people of prayer. These are hard decisions and hard circumstances for many people to be able to process through. Let's pray for our troops. At the end of the day, we personally will only be able to change so many things, but in the power of prayer, God can work in ways that are much, much further and much, much grander than what we'll ever be able to do on our own.
Amen. We'll talk to you next week.